Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's hour number 2 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan. Jory Epstein's coming up in 20 minutes. We'll be talking to her about the Cowboys and their stories of the day. It's time now for Wolchuk to deliver that NFL content. Here he is.
All right, let's start with our Cowboys. And they did, they're planning to interview Robert Saleh. We did see that the Niners, according to Matt Barrows, who covers the Niners for The Athletic, they are willing to make Robert Saleh the highest paid defensive coordinator in all the land if he does sign with the 49ers. So we'll have to monitor, like, does he end up getting one of these head coaching jobs? If he doesn't, I'm assuming he's going to go back and get a big time payday to be the defensive coordinator once again with San Francisco.
Yeah, the dream of him being just the Cowboys defensive coordinator is a long shot.
Right. And you would love, I would assume Jerry could probably top that offer if he wanted to. But we know that they don't, it, at least it doesn't seem like they like to spend a ton of money on the coaching staff if they can avoid it. So I don't expect him to be just the defensive coordinator, maybe the head coach, but I don't see the head coach thing happening either. Now, speaking of the head coach, Calvin Watkins, and this has been floating out there because we were like, why the hell, you know, have the Cowboys. I didn't expect them to even interview Ben Johnson. We were hopeful Aaron Glenn after the NFC Championship game. Here was Calvin giving an update on the Cowboys coaching plans.
Now those three initial names are just the beginning of potential candidates for the Cowboys. Ben Johnson, who's the Lions offensive coordinator, and Aaron Glenn, who's also the Lions defensive coordinator, are going to also be expected to come in for interviews. Oh, Deion Sanders, head coach of the University of Colorado. Jerry Jones had a conversation with Deion about the job. Cowboys will take this into probably mid-February before they make a final decision. And that's okay, because you want Jerry Jones to find a 10th head coach in franchise history to be a good one.
I love the idea of, hey, the Cowboys are doing their due diligence here. Kudos to them. And they're going ahead and making this a long, drawn-out process, talking to as many people as they can, which that's exactly what we had hoped. But I do kind of feel like this is more, we're going to go ahead and appease the fan base here, bring in the top two candidates on most people's boards here with Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. Maybe I'm holding out hope Aaron Glenn's got a shot. I don't think Ben Johnson does. I know the Raiders rumors are out there. Adam Schefter said no to the Cowboys deal with Ben Johnson today on with Pat McAfee. He also said he's not buying the Raiders stuff, which means maybe it's the Jags. Maybe it's Jacksonville for him. I don't see Ben Johnson as a reality. Aaron Glenn, because of his ties having played here, maybe he can be just a kick-ass interview and go ahead and change the plans. But I don't know that those are legitimate. Hey, we're bringing him in because we want to hire him. Maybe they just want to pick their brains a little bit. I don't know, but I'm not holding out hope, but it was at least exciting to hear that they're probably going to be talking to them and interviewing him at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't be optimistic about that. Wolchuk, if they're waiting until they're done with the Super Bowl to, you know, get an extended opportunity to chat with them. You know, Ben Johnson wants some synergy with the front office here. He might not be able to command the total tone. You might have a front office that, you know, can meddle in your affairs from time to time, but they are going to let you go shopping for the groceries with them. And that might be what Ben Johnson wanted. And if you are, you know, the Cowboys who are kind of going through a rebuild, I think now is the perfect time to go get a coach that wants to come in and establish his own system and way of doing things and building for the long term more than being a Band-Aid. You know, I'm still hopeful on it.
Could Dan Campbell be an ally for you here?
Yeah, he could be. Dan could be somebody because we know that he's got a good relationship and they respect him. Maybe he can help get in their ear on this.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'd be for Ben Johnson. I think it would be maybe for Aaron Glenn.
I think that if I'm Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn, I would ask him, I would go to his office and ask him, listen, what was it like to work with the Cowboys? What was it like to play for the Cowboys? You know, just try and get some insight there. And I think that Dan knows that these guys are probably going to go on and move on. And I think he could actually help you there. I think that he could, you know, I think it, now, will the Cowboys take the opportunity? You know, we'll see. We'll see. But I kind of feel like that maybe Dan Campbell could actually help you here with these two guys, if the Cowboys are, in fact, interested.
Right.
That if the Cowboys do ask for interviews, then they would say, you know, because they could turn the Cowboys down. They could absolutely say, no, you know, we're not going to do this. Last year, what did Ben Johnson did it last year. He turned down an interview at the very end. Dan Quinn turned down an interview at the very end, you know? So I just kind of feel like that maybe if the Joneses might have...
Do you think Dan gives him an honest answer? Or if I'm Dan, I'm like, you want nothing to do with that, buddy. Stick around here.
I think
we'll get you a raise.
I think he absolutely... I think Dan knows that these guys are head coaching material, especially Aaron Glenn. I think he knows that. And does he want to lose them? No, he doesn't. But I think he owes it to them as trusted assistants, guys that have been a massive reason why the Lions have turned this thing around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I think Dan Campbell probably had somebody tell him, you know, this job is, yeah, go for this job. You're going to like ownership. You're going to like the front office guys. You know, you're going to like how it operates. You know, I think Dan would be very honest about this with these. Now, he could also say, listen, you don't want anything to do with that bleep show, you know, and then you would know very quickly if these guys start to turn down interviews, especially with the Cowboys, then you know exactly what probably happened there.
And you can talk to them as soon as the NFC Championship game's over. And then, of course, if they end up getting eliminated, then they're available to talk. Yeah.
I think you would be Rams and Commander fans this weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you want to talk with them a little bit earlier.
Or if you want to talk to Kellen Moore, though,
yeah.
too.
Well, yeah. So they're talking to Kellen Moore today. Kellen Moore is getting the interview. It's going to be a
virtual
interview.
If you want him
interview.
Available to hire, yeah.
Yeah, with the Cowboys. He's also going to be interviewing with Jacksonville. Now, the one good thing about this Kellen Moore deal is, it's made Eagle fans lose their minds. And it's not necessarily they're worried about losing Kellen Moore. It's they think this is going to be a massive distraction because they've got a big playoff game on Sunday. So Eagles Twitter is a frenzy. Like, I can't stand that the NFL allows coaches to interview for head coaching jobs. Kellen has three interviews this week instead of preparing for the game. He has to prepare for the biggest interviews of his life. We've heard, I mean, we worried about this with Dan Quinn, but now it is fun. And I guess the Saints job he's got tomorrow. He's got an interview with the Saints tomorrow and Cowboys Jags today. So I understand where the fan base is feeling there, but I do love seeing the panic mode and filthy. It's not even like they're like, damn, I hope he doesn't leave. It's just like, oh, I hope this doesn't cost us and ends up screwing us over because our offensive coordinator's not focused on the game. He's focused on these interviews.
Yeah, as long as Dick Fangio is ready to go have a day and Saquon Barkley's ready to go have a day, Kellen Moore doesn't even need to show up on Sunday.
Okay, so Saquon Barkley is looking to defy NFL history if he wants to have a day against the Rams. So he ran for 255 yards in their 37-20 win. Now, when you look at NFL history here, there are eight players that have run for at least 200 yards against a team in the regular season, then faced that same team in the postseason. Of the previous seven, all seven of them were held under 100 yards in the playoff meeting. That's right. None of the players who topped 200 yards against an opponent in the regular season were even able to hit the century mark in the postseason rematch. Most recently, Jay Ajayi with the Dolphins, had 204 rushing yards against the Steelers. They played in the postseason. It was 33 yards. Jonas Gray with the Patriots. No Sean Marino with the Broncos. Adrian Peterson's on here, ran for 210 against the Packers, was held under 100. How about Marshall Faulk against the Saints in 2000? Had just 24 rushing yards in the rematch. And the great Barry Sanders, also on this list, ran for 215 against the Bucks and just 59 in the rematch in 1997.
He made it to the playoffs before?
He did. He made it to an NFC Championship.
Oh, man. Yeah, no.
The
yeah.
Lions had some teams.
Yeah, we used to have to deal with that in Green Bay.
But then it was so bad that he said, forget y'all.
Yeah, pretty much. Things started kind of falling apart for him a little bit there. But they had some players back in the day. Wayne Fonts was their coach. We used to have to battle them in some wild card Big weekend Wayne. Games. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love Jared Verse. I might need to go ahead and get myself a Jared Verse jersey. He has said that, quote, I hate Eagles fans. They're so annoying. I hate Eagles fans. I didn't even know that I did. It was my first time playing, and, oh, I hate Eagles fans. When I see that green and white, I hate it. I actually get upset. Like, I actually genuinely get hot. This is Jared Verse talking to the media there in L.A. Now, Barkley has put out a warning like, dude, you probably didn't want to say this. They don't need any extra fuel. These people are psychotic, literally, and they're also very violent. So Jared Verse, I mean, you might need to watch out. Maybe the family doesn't go to the game this week, but I love everything he said. And filthy, go bleep yourself, but I am on record here. I do think their offense coordinator, Kellen Moore, is going to be the next head coach. Dallas Cowboys.
You know, Philadelphia has it coming. I wish at some point some of these players would get some friends and family combined with some bouncers and security guard type of guys, maybe some martial arts dudes, and just go to the game and be like, man, I dare you. I dare you to say something.
Bring it.
Right? I dare you to take a swing at me.
Did you see that reality show TV idea?
Uh-uh.
You put some MMA fighter, UFC fighters, and some opposite team gear, have them go to Philly.
I love it. There you go.
Watch the Philly fans troll them, and then they get folded up like laundry.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. You do that 2 weeks in a row, and I think those guys would suddenly find Jesus or respect or something.
Mm.
I'd love to see that.
I need to.
Yeah. Come on, Netflix. Idea. Where you at?
Yeah, I'm signing up for that. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., son of Eagle great Jeremiah Trotter, who Brian knows a thing or two about. He's going to get his first start. N'Kobe Dean's out for the year, so that's opened up a spot next to All-Pro Zach Bond. So look for Trotter Jr. to be out there.
That's big, dude. That's big. Dean had been really coming on.
In that
Rams game, he was
fantastic
dominant.
In their first game. That's a hell of a call.
They were moving him around and blitzing him like crazy.
Maybe they'll try and do some similar stuff with Trotter. He does have and both of them are undersized, so both of them a similar skill set between the two. But that could be a big loss, known to Kobe Dean. Interesting that Tom Brady, and this is according to his agent Don Yee, he plans to be the Fox broadcaster and in that booth for the duration of his 10-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really thinking maybe, especially with the Raiders stuff going on here, Tommy just says, thank you, this was a great year, but I'm moving on and I'm going to focus on the ownership group with the Raiders and maybe some other passions in life. But I guess he's running it back for another year as of now with Fox.
I mean, it's over $20 million. I don't think he's done such a bad job that Fox would be like, hey, we got to make something else happen here. Right. You know, like at the end of Jason Witten's first year, it was I think maybe he wanted to go back to playing and the network was thinking, we got to do something else here. So, you know, I do believe Tom Brady will get better over time,
mm-hmm.
you know, so by the end of his 10-year deal, maybe he'll be good enough to actually sit in that number one chair. Wolchuk.
18-game regular season schedule. Oh, it's brewing. Roger Goodell said it's a logical step for the NFL as he had a conversation on Bloomberg TV's The David Rubenstein Show. And, I mean, it does make sense. He's like, look, we went from 16-4, 17-3, 18-2. We'll keep the 20-game format. We'll just have two preseason games. That kind of seems logical, and I'm sure the owners will be down for that. That's more money, maybe more television revenue. I think we're all totally fine with two preseason games, 18 regular season games. It's probably not great for player safety, but the NFL doesn't actually care about that. So bring on the 18-game schedule. I'm sure we'll get that here in the next couple of years.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised they hadn't done it yet. I think 17 is just awkward. You know,
it is. I like the even number.
Yeah.
There's something about it that's bizarre. Former NFL head coach Jack Del Rio, he's going to coach a team in Paris as we're trying to expand internationally here. The Paris Musketeers of the European League of Football. We're going to get Jack Del Rio, who had 12 seasons as an NFL head coach with the Jags and Raiders going 93-94.
Would right that be the ELF? The European League of Football?
It would be the ELF, yeah. Paris Musketeers of the ELF League and the Dolphins. Shout out to Miami hosting the first ever NFL game in Madrid.
Musketeers.
So they're going to be playing at Real Madrid's home stadium there, and the Dolphins are going to be the designated home team, so we'll see who they end up playing. Maybe they've got the big audience there, fan base in Madrid, are the Dolphins.
All right, thank you, Woolchuck. We'll chat with Jory from Yahoo coming up next right here on your home of the Cowboys.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
5-3 The Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Back Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Jory Epstein, Yahoo Sports senior NFL reporter here in just a moment. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And a good afternoon, Jory. How the heck are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing? Is it warmer down in Dallas than it is here in New York?
It probably is. It's warmed up the last couple of days. I think we're probably mid-50s right now. How are you guys doing up there?
Okay, I will say right now it's 30s, although it's going down to single digits. So I got my run in today, but earlier I was checking the weather and I had it on Dallas instead, and I was disappointed when it was not accurate.
Well, we're excited to have you on here, Jory, and we understand right now the Kellen Moore like virtual interview or whatever is going on as we speak. What do you think? Would this be a good hire for the Cowboys?
Yes, I think so. I think what's interesting, and yes, I was told that that interview is scheduled to start on Zoom at 3 o'clock Central, so happening right now. Technically, by league rules, they have up to 3 hours. But I would think it's absolutely reasonable to consider him a favorite for the job and arguably the favorite. I think when you look at it, all coaches want certain things. Of course, you want someone with scheme. Of course, you want someone who's a leader. But the two things that Jerry Jones wants that I think not everyone wants is experience at a high level, as well as hey, you have some sort of ability to understand the Cowboys dynamic, understand what's going on with this franchise. And that's something that Kellen Moore has. And then you see, okay, he's done well at other stops. So I would say absolutely he should be up there.
What's the relationship like between Kellen and Dak? I always assumed they had a very strong one. I mean, how much do you think Dak factors into this head coaching search?
I mean, look, I think that when you ask how he factors into it, there's how he factors into in terms of what they're looking for and how he factors into in terms of will he be asked directly what his voice is. I don't think someone like Jerry knows what Dak wants. And I also think that Jerry kind of says, I'll listen to a lot of people, but ultimately it's my decision. But when you look at it, what this coach should be hired to do is maximize Dak Prescott, because that's where your biggest financial investment's gone. That's where you're going to be paying $60 million a year starting this year. And Kellen understands Dak as a player. He understands his development. He's gone from backup quarterback to quarterback coach to offensive coordinator. And the other thing I'll give Kellen credit for is both from an interpersonal dynamic and from a schematic dynamic. I think in Philadelphia, they had a lot of issues on offense this year, and I get that he's got Saquon Barkley and he's got the talent, but I still think that Kellen has smoothed a lot of things over in Philadelphia this year, and he's realized sometimes the best way to get the most out of your quarterback is with an offensive line and a run game that's balancing it out, and I think he would want to bring that back.
Was there ever any friction when it came to the dynamic with Mike Kellen and Dak, and with Mike no longer here, maybe that just goes away and Kellen and Dak would work seamlessly?
I mean, I know you guys talked about this earlier on this week with Bobby, and I think the way I look at it is Mike McCarthy's a Pittsburgh guy, and he has his line. Conflict is good. Conflict is healthy. Then you have Dak Prescott, who's been in this league for an increasingly long time, and he knows what he wants, and he knows what works for him, as any veteran quarterback increasingly does. And so I think when you have two coaches in Kellen and Mike who don't come from the exact same offensive philosophy, they're not going to see eye to eye. But I think when I talk about friction, I'm like, well, is it that people are unhappy with each other or that they're having healthy disagreement? Because if they're never disagreeing, I think that's when you're doing something wrong in an organization.
Jory Epstein, Yahoo Sports with you here. Do you think this search is going to take a considerable time from here to the conclusion?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest question will be who do they want and how does the playoff advancement impact that? Because, yes, they're interviewing Kellen virtually right now is my understanding, but they're not allowed to interview him in person until the Eagles are out. And so I think that that's probably going to be the biggest indication of how long this is going to take, is that will they be able to interview the guys they want in the timeline? I mean, if Detroit loses, will they want to bring Aaron Glenn in? Because he's interesting to me, because I think when you look at it, you say, well, most of these guys don't have Cowboys experience, but Aaron Glenn actually did play for the Cowboys a couple of years, and they could say, well, Parcells believes in him, so you should too. So that's kind of like the wild card there.
Now, when it comes to just the way they're conducting this, do you think they were caught off guard by Mike saying thanks but no thanks, and they're kind of in scramble mode at this point?
The reason I don't believe scramble mode is, yes, it is atypical in the NFL to not figure this out by the end of the season. I mean, the Patriots got rid of Gerard Mayo day of. Most people got rid of their coach at the latest by the next day. But also, realistically, other than the Patriots and Mike Vrabel, who, by the way, I understand Mike Vrabel is a top coaching candidate. The Patriots also were sure Gerard Mayo was the guy last year. So I think we have to have a little bit of healthy skepticism there. Other than that, no teams have moved forward with this. It's not like because Ben Johnson met with the team last week, he's now not going to want to talk to someone else. Like, no one's even visited in person yet. So while I don't think the Cowboys are going to be the top candidate for a guy like Ben Johnson for some of the reasons we talked about, I don't think that the timeline of Mike McCarthy's dismissal is going to impact that.
Jory, when we look at these candidates, though, and you just kind of feel, is there anybody in that building, the Cowboys, that are going to resist Jerry if he really wants a guy? Is there anybody going to stand up, or because likely this will be his last coaching hire, but is there anybody in that building that will stand up to him and say, no, we need to think about this direction?
Yeah. I mean, I think when you look at it, Broadus, you know this as well as anyone, having worked in the building, like it's Jerry, number one. And then I would say Stevens, definitely number two. And I think we all know the famous example of, hey, Jerry wanted Johnny Manziel, and Steven and some others are like, actually, Zach Martin, and it worked out really well. But when it comes down to it, I think head coach Jerry probably has even stronger opinions on than some of the players, and Steven Moore believes that, hey, if your head coach is your CEO and Jerry's the business guy, maybe other guys have a little bit more ability on that football side to figure out, but not the CEO side. I don't see Jerry allowing anyone to overturn a strong conviction, but I think if he's between two people and Steven thinks one thing, or Todd Williams, or one of some of those other guys who are very well respected in that organization, Jason Cohen, I would put on that list. I think those guys could influence it and can get someone in the building to interview, but ultimately this is Jerry's decision.
Jory Epstein with us here, Yahoo Sports, senior NFL reporter. Jory, when it comes to Jerry, I wonder now, like, as you've been in New York and you're covering the rest of the league, well, what is the perception of this job? I think we once considered it one of the top jobs in all of sports, but even Troy Aikman, a legend here, was saying he doesn't know if it's really that coveted a job anymore.
Can I tell you guys, everyone went crazy about the Troy comments, and I understand why to some degree, but let's not pretend like Troy has never criticized the Cowboys before and that he hasn't done it recently. I mean, he doesn't do it very often. Like, yeah. We know that Troy and Jerry don't see eye to eye on things. I think they get along well interpersonally for the most part, especially now that Jimmy's in the Ring of Honor. But I was not so surprised by those comments because I think Troy believes an organization should be run a certain way. Jerry runs it a different way, and Troy thinks that way is not coveted. Okay. Like, I understand, again, the fact that he was saying that, and it was public, and it was on national television, but that's kind of how I view it. In terms of Jerry, I think it depends which element of ownership you're talking about, because, again, I'm in New York. The Giants, I think, like, they're not a good team right now, but everyone respects the Maras generally as people. The Jets, Woody Johnson, not well respected as an owner, as a person. I mean, they're, obviously, we've seen a lot of the Jets reports coming out. So I think that, yes, there are some. What do you want out of an owner is what I would ask in terms of how coveted this job is. Do you want an owner who's going to leave you alone? Well, then Jerry Jones is not your guy. Do you want an owner who's going to be extremely loyal and who's going to generally allow you to learn and grow on the job with one of the more talented rosters in the league? Then, yeah, the Cowboys have that. If I'm looking at the rosters that the Cowboys have or the Saints have, I want the Cowboys roster. Jacksonville and Chicago, too, I would say, overall have weaker rosters, so maybe those guys have more arm talent, but they haven't proven more than Dak has in the league, and so I think that their ceiling is probably higher, but their floors are lower, and so I think when you look at it, there's just so much talent on this roster, especially that's why I keep saying a guy like Robert Saleh for defensive coordinator, you should be able to get good coordinators in the building, especially on defense if you go offensive coach, because you have the talent that will elevate that coordinator on a really public stage with a lot of primetime games to the next level, because they'll have the talent to go run what he wants.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of a guy like Saleh, like who do you expect to be? What names could be considered for Kellen's staff if he does get the job?
Yeah, well, I'll say something about Kellen because I think that like none of us probably, maybe not us. I think schematically he's extremely well respected. I think a lot of the number one question people probably have is if you've seen Kellen's presence for all of these years, how is that going to work in the head coaching job? And I remember one time a few years back, teams were starting to interview Kellen and DQ for head coaching jobs. And I was still covering the Cowboys at the time. And I had an executive reach out to me and say, hey, what do you want us to know about these two? And I felt like schematically I could talk about both of them. But from a present standpoint, I knew a lot more about DQ at that time. And I went to Dak then and I said, hey, teams are asking me about Kellen. And I don't have something bad to say about him, but I don't feel like I get a full sense of his personality. You guys clearly love him. Like, tell me what I'm missing so that I can tell these teams so that they're getting a fair understanding of him. And Dak laughs and goes, well, we like that. We don't want you guys to see everything. Like, I like that he keeps things close to the vest. And I understood it at the time, but I also think that if he's in a head coaching role, you will have to show a little bit more of that, because I always tell people when I'm trying to write their stories, the narrative is out there. Do you want to include your voice in it or not? And as head coach, you want to include your voice. What I would say in terms of the staff, though, is another thing that's interesting is look at Minnesota, look at Cleveland. They've got pretty cerebral head coaches in Kevin O'Connell and Kevin Stefanski. I don't know why every head coach in the league has like one of three names, like Mike, Kevin, and Dan. But I think that when you look at this, those cerebral guys got fiery defensive coordinators like Brian Flores or Jim Schwartz. And so that's what you would want for if you're Kellen, because you want your staff to have different types of energies so that every type of energy is represented to connect with different type of players.
Jory, another injury for Dak that requires surgery. Will he come back in 2025 as essentially the same athlete, the same caliber of player that he was to start this past season?
I mean, I think only God exactly knows how this recovery is going to go. But I think when you look at the body of evidence we have, there are guys like, even I would say, when you look at Deshaun Watson's recent injury, who have struggled to come back from previous injuries and be the same guy. I don't really think we've seen that from Dak. I mean, maybe he's not Mississippi State scrambling, which, by the way, is why I think Brian Johnson over in Washington is someone who would be interesting to get in the building, because he was with Dak when he was Mississippi State scrambling. But I think that other than that, like, Dak's biggest strengths are his processing, are the way he sees the field, all the way he can read defenses, get the ball out, work with all the different elements. And I don't think his lower body is going to be a factor. I think as long as he's mobile enough to be in the pocket and move around in the pocket, and maybe scramble like a couple times a game, and there are some people in the building who would like him to do that a little bit more, he's not going to be Lamar Jackson or even Jalen Hurts. That's not the strength of Dak Prescott.
Sounds like you're dodging traffic up there in the Big Apple. Jory, thank you so much for your insights and your report, and have a great weekend.
Great to talk to you guys.
Salute. There she goes. Jory Epstein, Yahoo Sports senior NFL writer, with her thoughts. Okay, we can react to that, but Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'm going to play a game with you guys. I got a playoff game for you, and we'll do that next.
Well, thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for Krusty's Corner. Here's the king, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Hey, Chief, I looked something up for you. I was just curious.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. The you know, did you know that the Cowboys offensively ran more plays than the Chiefs did this year?
They had more offensive plays?
They had more offensive plays than the Chiefs did this year, the Cowboys did. The Cowboys ran 1,104 offensive snaps. Kansas City ran 1,091.
So the Cowboys had more. Okay, so.
You just think about, like, opportunities, offensive snap. You'd think that Kansas City would run a bunch of plays.
Cowboys had to try harder. Yeah. Kansas City was coasting. We got this.
You would think that a team that plays as well as Kansas City does offensively, that they would run a ton more plays. But here's Dallas struggling on offense, but running more plays.
It was not a good year for Kansas City at all offensively. I know that we talked about it earlier. I think most people anticipate a Chiefs resurgence here in the postseason, but. I don't know.
You don't bet against them. I just, it, you
15
know,
and 2.
No, you're
my
absolutely
God.
Right. You're
We're
absolutely,
talking about they had a down year.
No, you're absolutely right. But, you know, but you talk about, because I was just thinking about what Blake was talking about.
They had a clutch year.
They had averaged 5.1 per play.
Track record.
You know, it was.
I mean, they were 8th in DVOA offensively. They were efficient. They're not explosive.
Yeah. That's the thing,
but their point totals are starting to trend in the right direction.
Oh no, absolutely. Yeah. I found it funny that Dallas ran more offensive plays and Dallas was so bad on offense this year.
Well, I don't know if that's an indication of how good you are on offense. I mean,
just give you an option.
Because I'm thinking like,
well, they did average 5.1 yards a play. Kansas City did this year, which is 23rd in the league.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely not explosive. But
I looked this up too. Like when they get in 21, when they get in 21 personnel, they were 3rd in the league when it came to scoring TDs. When they got 11 personnel, they were 26th.
Mm.
Their 21 personnel is better than their 11 personnel when it comes to scoring.
Yeah,
and maybe that's why they don't have explosive plays.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown back healthy, I'm sure, is going to be a big help.
All right, got a game for my guys here. I've taken the teams that are left in the playoffs. And I'm going to ask you a question about him, and it has to do with metrics and stuff like that. Okay? I'll read you the question, and you're going to give me the guess of the playoff teams that are left.
Right.
Of the teams that are left.
Okay.
Dawson, I'll start with you on this one. This playoff team has the most successful rushing plays. Successful rushing plays are four plus yards per carry. This playoff team has the most successful rushing plays.
I would bet on Philadelphia.
Chief?
Man, there it could be.
It's Baltimore. That's my guess. I'm pretty sure they've had a historically good, like, all-time great rushing attack this year.
Yeah, I'll just go with Detroit.
It's actually the Washington Commanders.
Washington?
49.6% of their rushing plays are 4-plus yards per carry.
I think a lot of that's probably Jaden Daniels, too.
That's their number one when it comes to that for the playoff teams that are left. Chief, This playoff team has the most rushing touchdowns.
I will go Philly on that one.
Let me get Detroit.
Yeah, I think it's the Lions.
Didn't Gibbs have like an insane amount by himself?
Montgomery
20?
Was having a bunch until he got hurt. They split. I think each might have had 10 plus.
Buffalo had 32.
Oh, it's Josh Allen factor. Yeah, he ran a bunch of them in.
Yeah.
Who was second? Do you know?
I can look it up.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, so it was Buffalo.
It was Buffalo. They had 32 for the year. Woolley.
Mm-hmm.
This playoff team had the most yards after catch. This playoff team had the most yards after catch.
Rams are always enticing here, but I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. Because Nico Collins was popping some big ones, like 70-plus, 80-plus yarders.
Dawson?
This is Detroit.
This is Baltimore.
Good job, Dawson. It's Detroit Lions.
Damn. Yes. I think I saw a factoid earlier as I was getting ready.
You just keep picking Detroit eventually. Like, you're going to hit on
2006.
Wooly, don't give away my secrets.
2,643 yards after catch.
That's impressive.
For the Lions.
Good for them, man.
Dawson.
Yeah.
This playoff team has the most air yards. Mm. Air yards. This team has the most air yards this season.
Well, okay, so it's not Philadelphia. We know they don't throw it down the field.
Yeah, that's tough.
Oh, man. Now you're going to make me bring up my NFL scoreboard so I can look at all.
Are you typing in like air yards or what are we doing?
No, I'm just looking up the slate of games.
Okay, got you.
Most air yards. Give me, Matt Stafford and the Rams.
Woolley.
It's a bad guess.
This is a tough yards. One.
You know what? I'm actually going to go. I don't know why, but give me the Ravens.
Who did you go with, Dawson?
The Rams.
You went with the Rams. Son
Instant
of a
regret.
I guess. Crap. I guess I'll just go with the Lions as well. Actually, I know it's not the Lions. Crap. Give me the Bills.
Be the Houston Texans, 4,491
Nico
yards.
Nico Collins, the most explosive.
Most air yards this playoff season here. Chief, This playoff team allows the least yards per carry on defense.
Least amount of yards per carry on defense.
Least amount of yards per carry on defense. Give me the Chiefs.
It's a good guess.
Dawson?
I'm going to go with this dominant Rams defense. Give me Los Angeles. Going back to the well now. I've pivoted from picking Lions to picking Rams. We'll get one of these right.
How about you, Woolley?
Yeah, I mean, I know the Rams had that one bad game against Barkley, so that's making me not want to take the Rams. I'll go Kansas City as well here.
Baltimore Ravens.
Wow.
3.6 yards per carry they've allowed.
Buffalo was so toast.
Until they win.
It's in Buffalo, though.
I'm taking the Bills. I'm having them circle them wagons.
It's like all this stuff you're talking about. Josh Allen, I tell you. And then you realize, like, damn, they're not going to be able to run the ball. All right, here we go. All right. Dawson.
Yes, sir.
This playoff team allowed the highest completion percentage. This team allowed the highest completion percentage on defense.
Okay, we got a bad pass defense. We are going to Washington. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm going with Washington as well.
I'll go Baltimore here. They struggled for a while until the end of the season.
Buffalo, 68.5% passing.
As I told you, they're screwed, Brian.
The highest completion percentage.
They're definitely going to win.
Buffalo.
Should double down.
Just keep everything in front, you know? That's their plan.
Josh Allen show. Give them the MVP after hearing this.
Rally and tackle, boys.
Midfield. If they win, I'm to have the trophy shined and ready to rock. Spit shot on that thing.
By the way, two of the best corners in the NFL with an incredible completion percentage allowed. You know where they're heading this weekend?
Yeah.
Kansas City.
Kansas City. True that.
And then they're headed to Cancun after that?
Mm-hmm. I might be a week late on my Chiefs demise prediction.
Tell you what, if you go text...
Are you teasing that it might have? We might get into the show on Monday with the Chiefs out of the playoffs?
If you pick the Texans, I think that might waive your bet payoffs. And they win.
Whoa. That sounds
what
like...
What do you owe? You owe like 4 or 5?
I owe five.
I mean, that's ballsy as hell. I don't think the Texans have a shot.
I owe five after Mike McCarthy got fired.
Yeah.
And I've pledged to do one every day during Radio Row, so I think this would be a big loss for the fan base. But
yeah, I mean, I don't. I'm just throwing it out there to try and get you to take the Texans, because I don't think you will unless there's something...
I'll take them with the points. Give me 8 points. Yeah. I mean, I know the Chiefs scored against...
The spread I like as well.
All right. Wooly.
Talk to me.
This playoff team blitzes the most.
Oh. Come on, you know who. You know who wants
big,
to do that.
Big blitz package. Is that like a Dick Fangio special?
I'm not.
They're with the Eagles?
Your answer.
I'll go with, I don't think it's Dan Quinn and the Commanders, so I'll go with the Eagles.
I think it's our guy Dennis Allen with the Lions.
I think your dead ball is on right since Hutchinson went
Dennis
out.
Dennis Allen.
I mean, gosh dang it. I always want to say Dennis Allen. It's Aaron Glenn. Sorry.
Oh,
it's
the
Lions. Lions? Who do you got there?
I'm going to go with Lions as well. Been blitzing their balls off since Hutchinson got hurt.
It's Bags.
It's the Lions.
Yeah. There you go.
Bang.
38.4%.
They just bring one extra guy. Like every time, like, we're going to play man coverage. We're going to bring an extra guy.
Good luck.
Dawson.
Yes, sir.
This playoff team uses the most four-man rush. This team uses the most four-man rush.
I don't know.
That'll be Dick Fangio and them boys. And
get the Rams.
Rams?
Yeah.
Dick Fangio and the Eagles.
I think Eagles are Commanders, because I know DQ's not a huge blitzer, but I'll stick with Dick Fangio.
It's the Eagles.
There we go.
77.8% of four-man rush.
That guy's such a dick.
Yeah, has been for a long time, since the day he was born.
He is a pain to deal with.
All right, final question.
Yes, sir.
Final question.
Thank God.
For you, Dawson.
Uh-huh.
This playoff team has allowed the most explosive plays.
Playoff team allowing explosive plays. I'm going to go back to the nation's capital, where Dan Quinn can't help it. He's a good coordinator, but man, his players are bad.
Yeah, I think it is. I would guess the Commanders as well here.
Wooly?
I will lean Washington.
Everybody went Washington?
And my second pick, I guess I would say the Rams.
Baltimore would be my second pick.
All right. We got second picks involved here, too. You want to just keep going?
Cowards.
I'm going to go Kansas City.
No, well, it's the Commanders. Unless, of course, it's the Rams.
What are the Texans?
It's the Lions. 152.
Oh, it's the Lions.
2 explosives.
Hiding because all the blitzing. Sight.
They're getting lit up. See, if they can't get home, Jaden Daniels is going to run for some huge first downs, maybe make some big plays. McLaurin, I could see McLaurin. All righty. Thank you, Brian. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 240 here in the G-Bag Nation. C-Note, detailed breakdown of Deion as a coach. Does this sell you on the concept of Coach Prime in the NFL? That's next in the nation.